Welcome once again to the Permian Basin International Oil Show. Spectacular here at the podcast party brought to you by the Wireline Group. My name is Jason Spies with the Crude Life, and we've got the Texas Railroad Commissioner Jim Wright with us here. And this is part deux from our interview earlier at the Shale Energy Resources Conference in Midland, Texas. So look at, we got the Twin Cities taken care of here, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thank you for having me back on the show.
Well, I appreciate you coming out here today, and I'm glad that we're recording this time. So thank you for coming out, and how is your stay here from Austin all the way here to Odessa? How's it going?
You know, I enjoy the trip out here. Of course, I'm fortunate that I have my own airplane, so it's not that far for me to come. And I'm out here often. You know, I think this is kind of the heart of where our natural resources are being created. And if you're going to regulate that industry, this is kind of where I need to be more than not.
You know, one of the first year stories I did up in the Bakken was on aviation travel. How the aviation travel has gotten so economical for a portion of the upper middle class, really, at the end of the day, which allowed the facilitation and the lubrication of the Bakken to happen, because a seven-hour drive for a president or CEO, that's really hard.
It is hard. You know, I've had the good fortune of owning my own airplane since 1992, and I have my own businesses, so you know, it's really valuable at the end of the day when you can get to where you need to be and get back and get on other issues. And I think that's really important when it comes to the Railroad Commission.
Time is money, and time is very valuable. So I appreciate your time here today. Mm-hmm. Let's get an update from Austin, Texas. As companies go into their annual meetings and get prepared for 2022, what's the number one thing that they should know, and just a couple other things you think?
You know, I think all companies today are going to continue to focus on the ESG activity that they've been faced with. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that investors are demanding more of a return on their dollar from our industry also, the oil and gas industry. So I think those are going to be the main two focuses as we look at moving forward, not just in 2022, but probably in the upcoming years past that. You know, but I can also say that given that realm and the way things are with that, we are making great improvements. I think investors are seeing better returns today, and I think technology is just increasing tremendously. As you can see around this show today, there are a lot of new technologies out there that are really addressing some of the concerns that the American people and Texas people are having when it comes to our impacts on the environment.
That's what attracted me to this industry, was that the environmental innovation that's been going on. You know, humans have been decarbonizing for 150 years, long before the Sierra Club or Greta Thunberg came along. They just jumped on a movement that's been going on. Mm-hmm. Hay, wood, whales, coal, crude oil. We're down to 4-to-1 natural gas carbon molecules. And I do like to do the planet service announcement that carbon is not the boogeyman. It is the building block of life. And I worry about kids being told that carbon is the boogeyman, you know, type of a thing. And that's another topic for another day.
Well, you know, what I can encourage kids to do is when you look at how that campaign has been against carbon here the past few years, all I can do is encourage them to follow the money. You know, when you look at the other side, the other alternatives that we have that they say will replace carbon, those are so heavily tax subsidized. And that's where I ask everybody that has those concerns. I said, you know, just look at it closely and follow the money and see where those tax subsidies really end up, and you'll be very discouraged. When I look at CO2 and all the things that surround that, you know, CO2 is something that's in our atmosphere. It's what our atmosphere is made up of. I think we're going to change in that CO2 volume, whether we were producing gasoline and burning gasoline or natural gas. That's something we're going to deal with as a human mankind. So, you know, when we look at reliability and consumer pricing, right now that technology lies in fossil fuel. Not that I don't think that there'll be other sources such as wind and solar that will get there one day, but right now it's fossil fuel that provides pretty much everything we do in everyday life.
Well, since you're here, and I'm going to call an audible for just a second, because we don't normally get political on this program, but the one political stance we have made is that wind energy needs to be completely redone. And the reason we say that is the Crude Life truly believes that the Amish farmer is more advanced with wind energy than we are right now, meaning they can in one day with their neighbors put up a windmill, and they can actually power a pole barn if they're the Amish that do energy, and they can get water. That's pretty darn good for one day's of work, and then the wind takes care of the rest, and you're not using all these things that cannot be recycled. No snow reclamation program, all these different things, and so
I couldn't agree more. As long as the wind's blowing,
that's amazing that I can get somebody of your stature to agree with my crazy statement that the Amish are more advanced than we are in wind energy.
But you know, but when the wind doesn't blow, they're not going to be drinking any water. So that's some of the things you've seen happen to us here in Texas, especially last February. You know, we discourage reliable sources today with those tax subsidies. And I think that Texas did realize back in February that we've got to get better at making sure our reliable sources are there. We've got to set a level playing field so that they're encouraged to come in and provide those reliable sources. Not only reliable sources, but better pricing for the consumer. When you follow those tax subsidies that I mentioned earlier, those tax subsidies are really costing our consumers in the price of electricity way higher than any fossil fuel sources.
Well, I come from the printing business originally, you know, so I understand sunk costs. And it's almost like the solar and wind energy are sunk costs now
there
by
is.
The government. So they can't make any new decisions without rectifying those costs, just like the printing business had to do with printing presses.
That's right.
And so I see a lot of parallels there. And so, by the way, I do think that the solar industry, as soon as we get the terawatt of storage figured out, they'll have a chance in the marketplace.
As long as that pricing is good for
the
consumer.
Issue.
That's the issue right now.
Yeah.
I have not seen batteries that are really something that's going to come up and provide a consumer price that people can afford. But will technology get there? I think so in one day. And again, I'm not against all sources of energy. I just want to make sure that it's reliable and it's cost effective for the consumer.
And to kind of illustrate the the commissioner's point is that wind and solar have been getting subsidies since the 80s, and they've been the ones setting the benchmarks that they have not been hitting, and they get more subsidies for not hitting the benchmarks. So that's not even a political statement.
Yeah, those subsidies really provide their profitability. And when you look at what happened in February and how our ERCOT system is set up, ERCOT essentially goes out on a daily basis and says, okay, electrical provider, give me a price for tomorrow's electricity. Wind and solar can pretty much put that on the grid for free with those tax subsidies. How do you encourage fossil fuel, reliable sources, to even provide electricity onto the grid? How do you compete with free?
Very difficult, and it's very difficult to do projections when people say we're making money on wind and solar and they're not including the actual subsidies. I'm talking about city governments.
That's
things
right.
like that where
That's
they
correct.
Just leave that out of the equation when they say, hey, look
Nobody
at this.
Ever talks about that
Never.
I hear of. It's always, you know, wind is free, sun is free, so we ought to embrace that. Well, that's not the truth.
Well, the Honorable Jim Wright with the Texas Railroad Commission, I do want to ask you about Frackleberry Hound. This is our stray that we got at a reclamation site. Of course, we have the Earth Championship belt here to go with it. Johnny Green's not here today. Johnny Green let us use the belt because he goes across cleaning and Johnny Green in people's minds. Strong mind to stand up in energy today. Frackleberry Hound is a Chesapeake Vizsla. Now,
yes, I haven't heard of
you're
that
a big
one.
Dog lover.
I am a big dog lover, and I looked down at him earlier when I came up here, and he looks like my chocolate lab that I have at home. His name is Mac, and he's obsessed with going and fetching things. So he's been my dog now for 10 years, and he's getting older, and he's getting to where he's not moving so well. So I try to keep him down. But every time he hears a shotgun going around, off around our ranch, he's ready to go.
He's ready to go, huh? Well, Frackleberry here, anytime we go by a cornfield, she's just going back and forth.
Oh, I bet so.
I throw a cob of corn out, and she likes to get
right.
it, you know, and that sort of thing. But she's been a terrific mascot here. And what we do is we bring her into schools and parades and introduce her to kids of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Frackleberry Hound gets a smile, and then all of a sudden, within a minute, we're having a conversation about reclamation. So we kill two birds with one
That's
stone
great.
There, and it's working very well. One final question for you here. Last June, we had you on right before I emceed the Bakken Barbecue. We raised $87,000 up
there.
That
is wonderful. Congratulations.
$70,000 went to Make-A-Wish, $17,000 to local charities.
That is great.
And we did a fabulous job up there in the Bakken, but you had some absolutely terrific barbecue recipes. We're getting close to the holiday season now. By the way, bought my pillow regularly $70 now, $19.99 with the promo code Otis. That's my son's name. Otis is the promo code. But do you have any holiday traditions or recipes or anything like that that you might want to share?
You know, I don't really have any holiday recipes, but I do have a tradition when it comes around holiday time. I usually call my credit card companies and get those cut off.
And with that, we're going to end this interview with the Honorable Jim Wright with the Texas Railroad Commission.
Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you for coming, by the way, as a pop-up surprise guest here at the Permian Basin International Oilfield Show Spectacular. Next time, we got to promote you as a guest. See, we get pop-up guests. You never know who's going to come here at the Permian Basin International Oil Show. Thank you much. Let's cut it.
Thank you.